Where's your joy at? Is it all puffed up or is it lying flat? Is it stuck in the ground? Is it up in the air? Okay. This portion of scripture today is the closing instructions that Paul gives to the church in Thessalonica. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are supposedly co-authors of this letter, and they write to the church in Thessalonica, and these are the final instructions. These are like the things that you need to remember if you're going to remember anything of what we just wrote to you. Anything that we just wrote to you, remember these things. So he kind of boils down the letter to say this in a nutshell. Okay. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 12 through 22, I'm just going to go for right now. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Now, that is the scripture. If you'll notice something, right there in the beginning, at verses 13 through 15, 16, you'll see something that should look familiar to you. You're looking at, there are four spiritual characteristics mentioned in this passage that also are part of the fruit of the Spirit. And you see them lined out there. They are what? Love, joy, peace, and patience. These are the four things to hang our hats on here. This whole thing, these final instructions, all really hinge on these four items: love, joy, peace, and patience. To have peace in the church, there must be love. To have love in the church is going to have a sense of joy in the fellowship. And if there's a sense of joy in the fellowship, then you're going to be patient with one another. And if you're not patient with one another, then there's not going to be peace, and then there's not going to be love, and then there's going to be no joy. So, it's a cyclic motion. Everything will either stick together with this glue, or either it's going to fall apart because the glue's not there to hold it together. So, the four spiritual characteristics, love, joy, peace, and patience, are essential. Notice he says, be joyful always. Not just whenever you choose to be or whenever it's convenient, but be joyful always. That means when things aren't necessarily going your way, be joyful. That means when things don't look like they should be fun, be joyful. That means when, you know, I'm just not happy today, be joyful. You know, when I'm not having a good day, be joyful. When somebody has made me mad, be joyful. When somebody has done something to wrong you, Be joyful. Then it says, pray continually. Does that mean that you should always be locked in your room, sitting down on your hands and knees, praying? Whatever you want to say. No. That does not mean that. That doesn't mean that you should be praying as in, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's part of praying. That's one element of prayer, is your prayer life as far as that type of prayer. Prayer is a whole realm of different things. It's all about communication with God. Praying continually means keeping an open communication with God. Means being continually in communication with God. Having a line of communication always open. It doesn't mean just dialing Him up whenever it's convenient. It means listening for Him during the day, whenever He's trying to speak to you. It means trying to see Him working in your life every single day instead of being hit by it broadside when He's trying to yell at you and get your attention. It means being so in love with your Lord and Savior that you have an open relationship with Him every day, that all He has to do is whisper and you hear Him. It doesn't mean, well, I need to have this prayer request on my heart, so I need to stop 5 minutes each day and pray. That's not praying continually. That's not also doesn't mean having your day so broken down that you have to pray 24 hours a day, like, Lord, help them and help them. That's not praying. That's requesting. Prayer is communing. Communion. Okay, well, Dean, we're friends. We're Quakers. We don't do the communion with the wine and the bread and stuff. No, not necessarily. We commune with the body of Christ in a different way. We have such an intimate, or we're supposed to have such an intimate relationship with Him that every time we sit down at the dinner table, we are remembering the body and the blood of Christ. Every time we sit down at a meal, we are supposed to be remembering the body and the blood of Christ. Every time we are walking down the street, we are supposed to be remembering the sacrifices that He made for us. Whenever we live in the day, we are to be so much in that type of relationship that we don't need sacraments to remind us, because sacraments aren't necessary if you have a deep relationship. That's the whole meaning behind not necessarily practicing them in the worship service, is the relationship doesn't hinge on the sacrament. The relationship is there whether the sacraments are there or not. So, are we praying continually? Are you in such a relationship with God that you can hear Him speaking to you? And as James says, are you listening? Not just hearers, but doers. Listening means not the total definition of listen. Means to act upon what you've heard. Not just hear, but to act upon what you've heard. So are you listening to what God is saying? Not just hearing it, but listening. Act upon what you've heard. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Boy, this is tough. Can you give thanks in all circumstances? With what's going on in your lives today, can you thank God for what's happening in your life today? Genuinely. Say, thank you, Lord. Because I know that whatever it is I'm going through right now, you have determined that whatever it is in my best interest. Even though I may not, through my own finite wisdom, see it, through your infinite wisdom, you do see that it is in my best interest. Maybe not right this moment, I may not think it's so, but in the future, I may see it. And because of maybe some selfish things, because I'd like it to be this way forever, or whatever, I may not like it the way it's looking, but it is in my best interest. Can I truly, truly, genuinely, not just give him lip service and say, thank you, Lord, but genuinely in my heart say, thank you, Lord? There's a difference, a big difference. And God knows it. We can't fool him. We never could, we never will. Beginning in the days of Adam and Eve hiding behind the bushes. Where are you? It wasn't because he didn't know where they were at. It was because he wanted Adam and Eve to realize that he knew where they were at. And that their hiding was in vain. He also gives us a recipe right here that can help recover someone's joy. More importantly, also a way to help our relationship with God be all that it can be. All right, all those things, love, joy, peace, patience. How we can make our relationship all that it can be is listed right here in verse 14. And it requires active participation between brothers and sisters of the Lord. Yes, it means accountability between the body of Christ. Yes, I mean, we need to actively be accountable to one another. It means warn those who are idle. Well, you know what? I've noticed that you haven't necessarily been on fire for the Lord. You've just been sort of coasting by, expecting the coattails of whoever to get you into the gates. Your family name, your family's tradition of going to church. You don't have a personal relationship. You don't necessarily have one. You're idle. Just because you go to church every Sunday doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Have you ever said, Jesus, I need you to save me from my sin because I am a sinner? Jesus, I know that you love me and you died on the cross for me. Have you ever actually said those words? Or have you just said, well, I go to church and I mean, I know that's what is there. I know that's that. But have you actually ever said, I am a sinner. I need salvation. Jesus, will you give it to me? Yes, Jesus is gracious, but he's not just going to give it to you if you don't ask for it. You have to ask for it. That's called free will. You can freely go on living in sin, or you can freely go on living in God's grace. It's up to you. You need to warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, there's a lot of things that I know. Yes, I know there's a lot of things, but you know, it's so easy. If you just say the words, God wants to love you as much as you can be loved, if you would just allow him to. It doesn't take more than just asking him. Stop being afraid. What are you afraid of? Yeah, but what if people laugh? Why are you afraid of people laughing at you for being saved? So what, you get laughed at? I'd rather be laughed at than die and not go to heaven. wrong is wrong even when everybody's for it, and right is right even if everybody's against it. Help the weak. Encourage them. Lift them up. Bring them to a point where they can do it. This is all right out of here. This is what Paul and them were saying to the Thessalonians. It says, we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Warn them. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. You need to be patient with everyone. That's where the patience comes in. You need to do all these things, though, because of love. All these things right here are listed there because of love. If you love people, if you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you will do these things. If you do not do these things, then you might as well just say, I hate you. You might as well just say that, because if you're not doing these things, you're saying, oh, continue on, go down your path, because I don't care enough about you to help you out of your path down to destruction. I don't care. I might as well just say I hate you. I don't love you. But patience is not an excuse either. Patience isn't an excuse to say, well, maybe next week. Well, maybe next week. That's not patience. That's procrastination. Patience is warning them, telling them, encouraging them, helping them, and in their own time, allowing them to, in God's time, and as they see their need brought before them, they will allow God to come to them. You can't make the decision for them. That's being patient. That's continuing to love them. Is what patience is about. Patience isn't saying, well, no, next week I'll do it, next week I'll do it, next week I'll do it. That's procrastination. I could say that a couple more times and maybe I'll understand it myself too. There's a big difference. Follows up with the proper way to temper all interpersonal, relational, kingdom building, and maintaining work. Be patient with everyone. Everyone. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, non-Christians, everyone. Be patient with everyone. Relatives, friends, enemies, everyone falls under the everyone category. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. It is not your job to get revenge for somebody wronging you. That is sin. Anytime you hold and harbor any kind of resentment in your heart because somebody has wronged you and you say, I'll get them back. Or if you cannot forgive somebody because they have wronged you, it is your job to forgive. It is not their job to come to you and ask for forgiveness first. And if you cannot do that, then you are going to get exactly what Jesus has said in the Gospels. He said, if you can't forgive, then the Father in heaven will not forgive you. Period. It takes a big change of heart to be able to say, I forgive them no matter whether they forgive me or not, or whether or not they realize that I need to be apologized to. And if you harbor that kind of resentment in your heart, then you got sin in your heart that is not dealt with. And that needs to be dealt with. That needs to be forgiven. And if you're not allowing that to be forgiven, then you're still as far away from God as you were when you didn't have Him in your heart. Because you've allowed that sin to become a wedge. Believe it or not, it's nothing personal up here. This is the truth. And you can believe me or you can believe the Word of God. The Word of God speaks it just as much as I can speak it. If you do not forgive those who have wronged you, you are sinning. And if you have allowed that sin to come between you and God, then you have separated yourself from God and the blessings and the hope of heaven. Period. Jesus said it. I'm just repeating it. It takes a big man, a big woman, to be able to go and say in their heart, I have forgiven them, whether or not they realize or not they've wronged me, whether or not they apologize to me or not, it's not the issue. Your heart and your heart's condition is the issue. And when it stands before God is going to be the thing that God sees, not you saying, well, but they did, but they, God doesn't care about that. What God cares about is your heart and the condition of your heart when you stand before Him, not what people have done to you. And when you seek revenge for what people have done to you, then God says, you're doing it wrong. Don't you remember what I said back in the Old Testament? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I'll get back those who need to get repaid for what they've done to you. It's not your job. It's my job. If they've wronged you in such a way that needs repaid, then I'll take care of it. It's not your job to worry about it. That is probably one of the most important verses in this and right there, always try, because he realizes it's not very possible a lot of times. Always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. There are a lot of people who aren't very lovable. But you have to make every effort to be kind to them. Try to love them. Try to be kind to them. And if they won't receive it, that's their problem. That doesn't mean that you spit in their eye and turn away. It means you just brush the dust off your shoes, like Jesus said, and you say, fine, that's okay. I still love you, but it's your choice. Know that they had the choice. As individuals, and as a body of believers, we also must develop some good habits such as praying continually. Like I said, that's just an attitude of continual communication with God, always being open to hearing Him, always being open to communicate with Him, being ready to whisper a prayer at a moment's notice, not having to stop and get in some sort of contorted position to pray. It's not about the position or the location. It's not about that. It's about your heart's condition when you pray. Just being able to say, hey, Lord, I'm driving down the street right now, but I know you're still listening to me. And I'm still listening to you. Give thanks in all situations. We went over that. Seek and listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Seek and listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That means we need to continually seek and listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Waking up every day, asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you through your day. And as a body of believers, asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us as a body of believers. But whenever there is a new breath of guidance whispered or breathed, it needs to line up with Scripture. And if it doesn't line up with Scripture, it needs to be thrown out as quickly as it was brought to us. Period. And if you try to say that, well, the Holy Spirit's bringing us a new word, well, it never will contradict the known word of God. Because God never contradicts himself. Avoid evil, even the appearances of evil, because we know the world is watching us and they want to see us mess up. We need to live our life, and we need to live our life and remember that others are watching us. So we need to avoid evil, we need to avoid sin, even the appearances of sin. If somebody's going to see us from a distance and say, well, that looks like they're doing, well, we need to be careful what we allow ourselves to be seen doing. If it's something that can be construed as sinful, then we need to be careful, because they're not going to listen to our explanations. They're just going to see what we're doing. They're not going to wait and listen to it. They're just going to see, well, Pastor Dean was out doing this or that, and boy, if that's what he calls a Christian lifestyle, then you know what? I'm not going to that church. I don't care how much he explains it. Not going to give me a chance to explain it at all. So, our joy is dependent on the amount of love that is found in the body, which is dependent on the whole body being in a state of peace, which depends on the amount of patience that we have with one another, which depends on all those things that we've just discussed, building, developing, keeping in check, and pushing us forward to the next things and the newest things that God has for us. So, where's our joy at? It's found in the Lord. And if we're not in the center of God's will, then we're not going to have an easy time finding joy. So, that's where we need to seek to be first, is in the center of God's will. And when we're there, then the joy will be there.